Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you be in the speaking and the hearing of your word. Amen. So, today is All Saints Sunday, where we celebrate the saints of our lives, those especially who have gone before us, who have made us who we are today, but also those who are with us, who are making us who we are today, and the saints of the future that hopefully we will then be passing the baton to. And it begs the question, what's a saint? What is a saint? When you think of a saint, who do you think of? Mother Teresa? St. Francis of Assisi? Certainly, these are people who have been publicly recognized by the Catholic Church as saints, canonized indeed. And according to Webster, the number one definition of a saint is one who has officially been recognized, especially through canonization, as preeminent for holiness. And indeed, in order to be canonized a saint in the Catholic Church, you need to have lived and evidenced certain qualities and characteristics. In fact, if you have been nominated for sainthood, which can only happen after you have died, there is an investigation that the Catholic Church goes through. And there are a number of steps to that process. So what they are looking for in that process of canonization is a number of characteristics, including, have you displayed heroic virtues throughout life? And a second is that you have two miracles that are attributed to you through your prayer. So after they have determined and found evidence that those things have happened and then voted on in the Curia, then you can be canonized a saint. But are those the only saints? Well, the United Methodist Church and Protestantism says very clearly no. That the saints really include a body much larger than those who have been canonized officially by the Catholic or the Orthodox Church. Saints are also pillars of the church. So when pastors get together, they talk about laity and we'll talk about the pillars of the church. So the pillars of the church aren't the clergy. The pillars of the church are the laity, right? The people in the pew. And the pillars of the church are identified essentially by the qualities that I referred to when I was talking about leadership in my sermon last Sunday. Pillars of the church. The saints of the church pray regularly and passionately. They connect regularly with God through prayer. The pillars of the church show up regularly, right? And that's not only in worship on Sunday, or exclusively in worship on Sunday, but show up regularly in the life of the church. Saints of the church, they give sacrificially. And again, sacrificial giving is not about an amount. It is about a spiritual quality. It is about a characteristic of the heart that I give to the point where I know that my life, in fact, depends on God, not on what I am able to earn. Saints of the church serve They serve regularly. They know that it's not just pastors that are called to ministry, but in fact, that God has given everyone gifts and grace that God intends to be then used to be a blessing to others, to actually make God's kingdom come and God's will be done on earth now as it is being done in heaven. And saints connect with others in faith and help others in their faith walk and even often invite others to come with them and experience faith. So, if this is the criteria for sainthood, then who can be a saint? Anyone, right? Right? Can I get an anyone from the house? Matter of fact, I could be a saint. Right? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad to see you this morning, you saint. So by this criteria, anyone can be a saint, and often saints are not maybe who you would typically think of. And so I have thought of two of the saints of my life. The first one that comes to my mind is Cal. So Cal was a member of Trannon, United Methodist Church, which was my first appointment. Now, I'd say Trannon, United Methodist Church, because Trannon, spelled T-R-E-N-T-O-N, Florida, is in Gilchrist County. It's one of the few parts of Florida that are actually part of the South. So it's about 45 miles due west of Gainesville, Florida. It is a thriving metropolis of 3,000, county seat, biggest city in Gilchrist County. It has the traffic light, right? And it is progressive compared to its neighbor, Dixie County. I say it's progressive because not all of the county commissioners have spittoons by their seat. The one female county commissioner did not have a spittoon in comparison to Dixie County, where all the boys, and they were all boys on the county commission, had spittoons by their seats. So that just gives you a little flavor of what Trannon, Florida is like. Cal, when I met Cal, he was about 86 years old. Cal was about the height of Gary Ribbentrop. He's about 5'4". And he was almost as broad as he was tall. And not because he was fat, but because Cal worked on the railroad pounding in those pegs his entire life. Cal was able to speak in tongues in ways that would make a Master Chief in the Navy blush. Right? So, you know what I'm talking about, right? So you would not necessarily think of Cal as your typical saint, right? And yet, Cal, when I met him, he was working in the organic garden that he had created. Now, this was in 1996, when organic gardening was not the rage yet, right? And he had on a hat and was covered from head to toe with clothing in the 95 degree, 100% humidity weather that it was in Florida, in that area, because he had such skin sensitivity from working on the railroad that he could not expose himself to the sun safely. But he labored in this garden to make sure his wife, who had severe stomach dietary challenges from surgeries that she had, so that she had things to eat so that she would not be sick. And Cal showed me, he taught me how to eat oatmeal. So he would take the groats, right? So this is unfinished oatmeal, and he would grind it out, right? And then he would stew that up into your oatmeal, and he put it in a bowl, and he said, now this is how you eat it, Tom. You take a handful of raisins and toss it in there and mix it up. And he said, now you take a big tablespoon of peanut butter and you mix that up. And you take a handful of miniature marshmallows and you mix that up. That is how you eat oatmeal. Cal was a saint. He served and he cared passionately. Mostly physically for his wife, because that's about as far as he could get. But for everybody else, I love sitting and talking with Cal. Saint. And then there was Reverend Dr. Bob Simmons. I've talked about Reverend Dr. Bob Simmons before, when he was my pastor when I was in high school and in college. He was then a colleague and a friend as I grew and began this profession. Bob was, I remember Bob as a huge black man. Now, I think he must have had some heart trouble or something, because he lost a lot of weight, so he shrank significantly when I was in college. But I remember him big. Bob, in very significant ways, taught me how to sing. Bob had a big voice, and Bob played the piano. And Bob would sit down at this piano, and he would lead the choir. I mean, that's what he did every Sunday, was he was the player of the piano and the director. Bob also, he kind of kept this on the down low, and I didn't find this out until I went to his house one morning, I can't remember, for something when I was in seminary, it was like 11 o'clock in the morning, and I knocked on the door, and he comes to the door in his robe, and he doesn't have his teeth in yet. And you know, when you see your pastor outside of the context of church, he looks a little different. And wafting from the house was the clear smell of tobacco. Bob smoked like a chimney, which may be why he then got cancer when he was in his late 50s. Bob also, I didn't find this out until a number of years later, Bob also loved to play high-stakes blackjack in casinos, which he would do. He would take vacations on the side to go to New Orleans or Reno or Las Vegas to play high-stakes blackjack. Now, you think, saint? Is this the quality of a saint? And yet, nobody has ever witnessed to me about what faith means like Bob did when Bob was dying. So I called Bob when I was living in Reno and heard that he was dying from cancer. And I said, Bob, how are you doing? And he said, oh, Tom, I'm fine. And I said, Bob, we have known each other too long. We have known each other for too many years, and we've done this gig. You can be real with me. How is it going? And he said, no, Tom, really, I am good. I am fine. I'm dying, but I'm going to keep working for God and God's purposes as long as I can. And when I go home, I know where I'm going. I am going home. That's a saint. And so it is. It is All Saints Sunday. The Sunday where we honor and remember the saints of our lives, past, present, and in the future. And so I invite you to ponder these questions. Who do you remember as a saint in your life? Who do you honor as a current living saint in your life? And what would it take for you to be remembered by someone else as one of their saints? In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And so it is that part of what saints do is partner with God in connecting with and caring for God and people. They partner with God in making heaven a reality now, and part of that is sacrificially giving. So let us do exactly that. Let us take some time to worship through our tithes and our gifts.